Hi.
Hi.
I'm Evan.
I'm Addie.
And you are listening to the Speaking English Podcast, the place to be for anyone who wants to watch more movies or read more books but doesn't know where to start. Thanks for tuning in from wherever you may be for episode 183. So for today's episode, we are watching our first movie of the year. It's our first regular movie episode of the year. And we are watching for this time around Starman, directed by John Carpenter.
Who also directed The Thing.
Yeah. My favorite. Yeah, I was looking up the chronology, and this was two movies after The Thing and one movie before, I think, what, Big Trouble in Little China?
Okay.
Which I haven't actually seen.
Okay. I think The Thing is the only other movie I've seen by him.
I'm looking at it now. I don't know if I've seen any of his movies.
That's kind of crazy.
That is crazy. He said there is a class at Boulder about John Carpenter. Clearly, I didn't take it. That would be pretty bad if I had taken that class. That's kind of
cool, though. It surprises me that he's like big enough to have a whole class dedicated to him.
Yeah, I'm not sure. I think he's like pretty well regarded, and I think he has a very like clear style, maybe. But what do I know? I haven't seen any of his movies. Well, not anymore. I've now seen one of his movies.
I will say this movie is not at all like The Thing. Like, I was shocked to learn that they are the same director.
I think, yeah. I need to see The Thing and also Halloween are the two big ones
Oh my god, I didn't realize he also did Halloween. Yeah. No, that's kind of great. Both are excellent, but especially The Thing.
Yeah, so just kind of looking through, it seems that he's done mostly horror or sci-fi for most of his movies. Mm-hmm. And this one is a sci-fi, so it all works out. But actually, we'll talk more about the movie in just a minute. As it is a movie episode, we got the whole episode to talk about the movie. But before we do that, how has your week been?
It's been really nice. I've mostly just been doing school once again. But Adam and I have been kind of on like a mission this week to redecorate a lot of our house. And that has been really fun. I love to decorate. I think I talked about this last time. I've always really liked to decorate my room. But now that I've got a whole house, I've been like so overwhelmed by the possibilities and all of the things that I have to consider that I've kind of just been putting it off, even though it's something that's really fun for me. So this week I finally was like, it's time. I'm going to do it. Time to go harder, seriously. So we've just been slowly like working on a different room all throughout the week. And it's been really fun. I've bought a lot of new plants this week. We just rented a carpet steamer machine from Home Depot. And we've been deep cleaning this really cool but really nasty rug that we have for our main room. Nice. And that's kind of a satisfying task. So yeah, that it feels productive, and it feels like my space is like actually really feeling more like a home, you know, and that feels really good. So that's been kind of the highlight of my week.
Nice. So you say you've been doing like one room for each day of the week?
Kind of. Or
has it been one room this whole week?
No, we've been jumping around in different rooms. My intention was to get one room done every day, but I really underestimated how long each space would take. And also, like, there have been some, like my bedroom, where I've tried some stuff that I was kind of like, oh, I'll do this and then that'll fix everything. And then I put it up and didn't like it. Now it's like, okay, I have to go redo that one and revamp some things. But yeah, it's been spread out.
I gotcha. Cool. Sounds like a good time.
Mm-hmm.
Let's see. My week. I don't know. It's been pretty quiet, actually. I'm heading back to the United States for a little bit in a couple of days. So by the time most people will hear this, I will either be in transit or already in the United States. Basically, something came up and I had to go back for about a week and a half. So I think it's going to be pretty nice to go back to the States for just a little bit, you know. And hopefully I'll get to see some people again. And it's very impromptu, but I think it'll be nice. So this week was kind of like preparing for that, getting stuff organized for school, because they're fine with me. Well, more or less fine with me leaving. it'll work out. Okay.
Totally.
So yeah, that's mostly been what's been going on. Just like kind of getting ready for that. I did actually open my application for my grad school stuff.
Oh, good. Good. I'm glad.
I have my little account there now. So I haven't like submitted anything yet, but it's all set up now and I can, you know, work on it throughout the month.
Nice.
And I have a good amount of time, but I'm not going to save it to the last minute like I usually do with stuff.
Good. That's why.
Yeah. And yeah, a very big football game tomorrow for my dear Bayern Munich, season defining game, maybe. So
nice.
I'm excited for that. And that's mostly what I got going on.
I thought you were referring to the Super Bowl. You said a very big football
game. Oh, yeah, I guess that's true, huh? I should be more aware of these things. See, I hate the NFL. I'm so glad that I'm no longer in America where I have to deal with it.
Yeah, that's fair.
I guess this is something I talked about last week or last episode about how when there's things that I don't care about, I just don't want to have to like actually deal with or think about any of them. And that's how I feel about the NFL. So it works out really well that I'm not in a footballing country, an American footballing country.
You totally get to deny the existence of the NFL.
Yeah. You love to hear it. I don't know. But I forgot that the Super Bowl was also this weekend. But
yeah, I'm kind of excited. Because we're hosting some people up here, so that'll be a good awesome. Time.
Yeah, that should be super cool. Who do you want to win?
I actually don't even know who's in it. Okay. Well, I know Thurso's boyfriend's team is in it because of that joke that I saw that I told you that having the Grammys and the Super Bowl in the same week as the plot of High School Musical, which is very funny to me.
Yeah, the Grammys were last weekend, though.
That's true. That's true. I guess they're week apart, so that like hardly counts, but yeah, the Grammys were last weekend and that was a disappointing time for me. I did not enjoy watching them.
I enjoyed not watching them. So it all works out. Maybe this is our PSA, our episode, every episode PSA, to go vote for the Shiners, our own award show. And have a better time listening to that than watching the Grammys.
Yeah. We're going to be way more fair, probably.
Yeah. But the link for that will be in the episode description. So go vote, even if you haven't seen all of the stuff. We want to hear your voice.
We do.
We hear enough of our own voices.
Yeah, we really do.
Our next book club book is Stoner by John Williams. I went out and bought it, so I'm going to start reading it on my travels. And
nice.
I think it should be pretty quick. It's like a fairly short book, so.
Well, I need to start it too then.
Maybe in like two or three episodes, we'll see.
Okay. Sounds good to me.
Cool. So Starman, this came out from 1984. We decided to watch it because it's a part of the Interdimensional Romance collection on the Criterion Channel, which I think is just great. I've seen a couple more from that. That's like kind of all I've been watching here lately.
Oh, cool.
And it's really quite nice. It's they're all like such feel-good movies. They're like, I don't know. I'm just having a very enjoyable time watching them.
Good. I want to ask you like which ones like you've watched, but I guess that would be better to save for the wrap up, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah. I'll wait until I've seen more.
Okay.
And maybe at the wrap up, I'll have a little like section where I only talk about those ones.
I really want to watch some more from this collection too, because I know that you said that Wings of Desire is in it, and I've been really wanting to rewatch that, because that I've only seen it one time, but it was like a 10 out of 10 for me.
Mm. Yeah, the ones that I've seen in that one are all ones that I want to rewatch too. So I think I might have my hands full with trying to watch all of them, but I got the time.
Nice.
But yeah, once again, that's, I think, is like one of the cooler collections. Or I think last week I said it was the coolest collection that they've ever put up on that website. So I think I'll stand by it for now.
Nice.
But yeah, so Starman, it seems the general consensus from what I've read, it seems that this is like a very big change of pace from other stuff that John Carpenter did. Both like the ones directly next to this one and also just all of it. Like, this kind of stands apart. Someone said it was Carpenter's Ball of Fire, which I really like, because that's that one's a, like a screwball comedy about Gary Cooper's like this stuffy professor guy who's working on an encyclopedia, and he is assigned the section on slang, and he has to go to the real world and and discover slang, and he meets like a nightclub singer and romance ensues. And that comparison just like really fit with this movie. I loved the whoever wrote that review put it that way, and I said, you know what, I like it. So I wanted to mention that before we started. Yeah, so let's get into it. Okay. Basically, it's about a alien who comes from outer space and then goes on a cross-country road trip.
Yeah.
Oh, and takes like the visage of this lady's dead husband.
Yeah. The alien's natural form is like a ball of light. But he's able to clone this lady's dead husband with a hair and takes his body.
Yeah, first of all, why has she just got a strand of hair, like a big chunk of hair in this photo book?
Yeah, I'm really wondering about that too.
Is that a normal There's thing?
In this movie where the things that happen are a little like irritatingly convenient, but whatever.
Yeah, but what are you going to do? Movie magic.
Yeah.
That one specifically just comes off as like kind of weird.
Yeah, I agree.
I for the record, I don't know people that put hair in their photo albums.
Me neither. I never have. Like, that's very strange.
Maybe that should be a new trend. Who's to say? I don't know what the purpose of that is, though, unless an alien comes and clones you based on the hair. Yeah. So I guess, what did you think of this one overall?
To be honest, I didn't like it that much, and I'm kind of having like a hard time conceptualizing why. I think part of it was that it just was kind of annoying to me. And I'm look past that because that feels like a little bit unfair, but I don't know why I felt that way. I mean, part of it being annoying, I think, is just that it was so 80s. And there was just kind of a lot of like eye roll sequences and dialogue and music choices to me. But also Jeff Bridges' portrayal of this alien who like is like learning about Earth. For some reason, I like really did not ever buy into it. And I really don't know why, but I was thinking about other Born Sexy Yesterday movies, other movies where a full-grown adult has to act like a child that I've either liked or disliked. And I just can't conceptualize why one movie might work for me when another one doesn't. Like, especially because I just saw Poor Things and I like raved about that on here and talked about it being my favorite movie that came out last year. And Emma Stone's performance in that as an adult who's also kind of learning how to be a human, kind of, it's a little bit different, but it's similar. Yeah. Like really, really worked for me. Like, it was just totally fine. The humor that they found in that portrayal, I thought was genuinely funny. And it just, her behaviors and her mannerisms made a lot of sense, and I was cool with it. And in this movie, I just never felt like that, and I'm really not sure why. The humor of teaching this man how to be a grown up in the in on Earth, a human man on Earth, like, did not land. It just irked me, and I can't explain why. I just never found any of it funny. I don't know. It just didn't work for me. And then their romance too, I guess, like, as an extension of that, I just was like, ew. You guys did that. That was kind of gross and weird.
I think, yeah, I think that the difference between those two, like, specific examples is, I think in Poor Things, the focus is very much on the character and her development. And I think in this one, it was less on the Starman character and more on looking at Earth and humans and our, like, weird habits and interactions from an outsider perspective, and, like, reframing it that way.
Yeah.
I felt it was more like that. And I think like, it seemed less important on the character, but I kind of see what you're saying there, that, like, it didn't, there it was maybe, like, some disconnect.
Yeah. I don't know. It just didn't do it for me. And then, speaking of this kind of idea of, like, this otherworldly species, like, looking at humans and being interested by them and whatever, so I also didn't like that about this movie. It's another thing that I'm like, why has that worked for me in other movies and not this one? But, like, the way that Jeff Bridges' alien talks about how they're just, like, fascinated by humans, and he's like, in my world, we're, like, all the same, and I like that humans are all so different, and he's saying this stuff, and I'm just, like, not buying it. Like, I'm just not. And I'm like, but why didn't it work for me here when it did in, like, in Wings of Desire, ironically, also in this collection, not aliens, but they're angels. And it's kind of the same sentiment. Like, they're sort of like, we have this intimate understanding of humans. We know everything about you. You don't know anything about us. And this angel is like, I've spent so much time being an angel that being a human where everybody's different and everything is more complicated and you feel more really appeals to me. Like, I want to come down here and do that with you guys. I loved that in that movie. And it's really similar to this alien's experience in this movie. But when he was talking about it, I was like, lame, corny. I don't know why.
Feel a little bit cheesy at times when he was like, well, when the government, not the not quite government guy, Mark Sherman, showed up and was like, asked him about it. And he was, I thought that kind of, like, response to, like, why do you think humans are so cool or whatever, was a little bit cheesy, but I didn't know if that was just because I'd heard that in stuff that came out after this or not. Like,
I'm trying to ask myself that same question. Like, is it really that I dislike this movie, or is it just that, like, I've seen these kind of same ideas done better now? And is that, like, fair? I don't know.
So I think for my part, I thought the romance was better in this one than you did. I think I thought that it was, like, a kind of, that one didn't feel super cheesy and cliched, because I think that that dynamic is something that's very interesting. That, like, I haven't actually seen in a whole lot of places where it's, I don't know. It's a really interesting dynamic, because I think that it's not quite like a full on love story, like a,
right.
Like, I don't know. I wouldn't say, like, they're romantically in love with each other, but also they love each other. And then there's, like, sexual connection also.
Right.
So you would think that those things would come together to make a romance, like a love story, like a love connection. And it kind of does, but it kind of doesn't. And something about that, like, specific dynamic was really interesting for me. And I think that I latched onto that, that kind of made it feel not completely cheesy and, like, a nice watch.
Okay.
Because I thought that the certain things about the looking at humans from a different angle, some of it worked and some of it didn't. And yeah, like certain things did feel cheesy about that, but I thought that the connection between the two leads at the heart of it worked for me, and in a kind of like an odd way. Like I haven't really seen this anywhere else kind of way. So I think that's okay. What I latched onto with this one, and I thought it was like a very nice watch. I don't think it was like one of the best things ever. It's not my favorite from this collection that I've seen, but and it might just be because in the context of like grouping it with these other movies, I was able to latch onto that better. But I think it's interesting that it doesn't quite always focus on that until kind of right at the end. That's the end of the movie, focuses on them and kind of drops all the other stuff going on in the background. And I think that works in this one. I feel like you don't need to tie up those loose ends because it reaches the heart of what it's about kind of right there at the end. Mm-hmm. And I'm glad that it worked that way, because I think if they tried to be like, what happens next or whatever else.
Yeah, I do totally agree with that. I'm glad that like ultimately they only knew each other for a couple days and they both like knew that that's how it was going to play out.
Yeah, yeah.
Her now being like pregnant with a half alien baby.
Yeah.
But whatever.
Where do you go with that? Like where there's,
I really don't know. And I do like really agree with what you're saying, that it is just like an interesting dynamic. Like it's just sort of fascinating. There are very complicated feelings about each other with like this element of, they know that they only have a couple days. They know that they're very different. And then also like, and this is the body of her dead husband.
Yeah, I was about to say that too. Yeah.
Like it's really, I mean like different like species. Like one is a human of Earth and one is a light ball from outer space. Like it's very complicated and it does make it interesting. And I agree with that. It's just that like, I wasn't like touched by their romance in a way that I think you were supposed to be. And I did read like a lot of Letterboxd reviews after I watched it. And a lot of people were like, I really like felt for them. Like I felt the moments of tenderness between them. And I just didn't. I didn't have any of those feelings. So I guess that's kind of like the big drawback there for me in terms of like their dynamic.
Okay. Yeah, I gotcha. It's it's quite interesting.
Yeah.
This movie feels very unique.
I agree.
In a lot of ways, but also like it kind of, how you said it's like very 80s. Like it kind of falls among the backdrop of other 80s movies.
Yeah, very 80s. And like we were saying, like these concepts also come up in like a lot of other stories. Like this idea of an alien that has to exist among humans. Like that's not. That's been done quite a few times.
Or like the thing where it's, oh, humans are great because they're not perfect.
Yeah, exactly.
If I had a nickel for every time I heard some riff on those lines in a movie.
Literally. I have to rewatch Wings of Desire and like be able to better articulate why that one that does that exact same thing really, really worked for me, because I just am not, I don't know. I didn't find it clear or cheesy at all when that movie said thing, and I don't know why.
And it's funny because when I watched Wings of Desire, I thought some parts of it were kind of cheesy.
I know, I remember you saying that when we talked about it, and I was like, no.
And it was a weird thing because also like it was just a weird watch for me because that was actually the last movie I watched in like a theater setting before COVID shut everything down. So maybe I was a little cynical then. That would be a fun one to actually rewatch. Maybe for like next episode, and
I'd love to. I've been dying to watch it again.
Hash it out. See what and why. See what we're feeling and why about each of these movies. Maybe.
Maybe that would motivate me to like really restart my project of watching all the movies from a beginner's mind too.
Oh, is that one of them?
Yep.
What song is that?
Reach Out. The very first song on the album.
Very cool. Let's see. What else about this one? Karen Allen is great. I think she needs to be in more. Well, she's kind of old by now, but I wish she was in more stuff around the time.
She was really great.
I know her from Indiana Jones and from Scrooged, oddly enough. Have you ever seen Scrooged?
No, I haven't.
It's like a Christmas story with Bill Murray as Scrooge, but he's like a big TV executive. And they're it's another like very 80s movie, but I think you would actually kind of like it. I don't know. It's been a while.
And I like really love Bill Murray.
But for whatever reason, that's like the first thing that I think of when I think of Karen Allen instead of the Indiana Jones, which is probably her most famous.
Nice.
But yeah, I thought she was great. I thought Jeff Bridges did good in this one. And there is some funny lines. I personally like the fish out of water element to the story just because the way that it was played was so like deadpan, I guess. I don't know.
Yeah, for sure.
Some of the line readings in this just kind of cracked me up.
Yeah.
Like the thing, the scene where he points the gun at her and then just like unloads the clip randomly.
That was really funny.
I was like, okay.
There were also just so many moments that I was like, come on. One of them that for some reason really grated on me was when they get separated, like Jeff Bridges is hitchhiking and then she goes into a restaurant and makes a phone call and the call is like not even about him. And then the waitress is like, are you looking for a man that looks like this? And it's like, what about what she was just saying on the phone? The things that like, that was just so irritating to me.
Maybe I guess she asked just beforehand.
There's just kind of a lot of tiny moments throughout like the plot and the script, I guess, that added up to me to be like, this story is like kind of nonsensical. Like, and it's really starting to irk me the longer it goes on.
Yeah. No, I actually think I definitely agree. There's like a lot of this holding it back, I think, for me from being like a great movie. But
yeah,
I think that the stuff that does work works in a way that just made me very happy to watch it.
Okay.
So I still feel like very solidly positive about it. And I think that part of that is that it really doesn't put importance onto the like plot cause and effect type stuff as much. Like it's kind of there. Like you have, you know, these government guys, but that's not really what it's about. And it never like feels like that's the most important thing.
Yeah, I agree.
Which I actually really liked because I think if it did that, it would have gotten very annoying.
Yeah. Although I will say, I was talking about this with Adam right after I watched it. I was like, I'm kind of irritated by how aggressive like the government is in this movie, which is like a thing that's very unlike me to say. Like usually I'm like, yeah, portray the government, the American government, as just like bad and dumb in a movie, whatever. That doesn't bother me at all. But it's like this alien comes down and like really the first instinct is just to like shoot it down and kill it. Like I'm really I don't know that that's really how this would play out. I kind of don't want to believe that that's how like we as a nation would handle an alien's presence, but I don't know. Maybe it is, but I told Adam that. And then he really loves sci-fi and like alien movies. So he had some recommendations about movies where the like dynamic between the government that's kind of handling the alien encounter and the alien is like a lot more nuanced and thoughtful. And okay. I think
for example,
he told me to watch Close Encounters with the Third Kind, which I don't know anything about.
I haven't seen it, but it's Steven Spielberg.
Okay. I've also been really wanting to watch Arrival for like the same type of reasons. Like I've always heard that they like communicate with aliens and that, which is more interesting.
Yeah. Plus Dennis.
Denise.
Yeah, I think, yeah, for being a sci-fi, I think this is definitely a sci-fi movie, but it doesn't really focus on the sci-fi as much as as the romance angle, but it's not quite a romance movie either.
Right.
It is, but like with an asterisk, probably.
Yeah. It makes sense why they put this category or this collection.
Yeah, I think so. It's really interesting kind of seeing all of these together, and I don't know. I guess there's something about this like type of movie that just really makes me smile.
Yeah.
Whether regardless of like the varying degrees of how well it works out. I don't know.
Yeah.
So something about the concept of love crossing like various boundaries is just so like powerful to me, maybe.
It's just so funny to hear that because that's like exactly what I would say about Wings of Desire. And I like, I'm like, yeah, I love that love is crossing the boundaries. I smiled the whole time I was watching that movie. I don't know why that one worked so well for me and this one didn't. Hopefully when we watch it and talk about that one together, I'll be able to better understand that about myself.
Yeah, we can hash it out.
Yeah.
This movie does not have Nick Cave performing for like a solid four minutes, though.
Maybe that's what it's missing. Maybe that would have really brought it all together for me.
I did really like the random part where he just hears like, I think it was like a Frank Sinatra song or something.
I also like laughed out loud at that. I thought that was really funny.
The way that he just turns it off and then just sings it word for word right after. Like, okay.
I love Jeff Bridges. Like, even though I was saying earlier, I didn't fully buy into him learning how to be a human, I guess. I didn't dislike his performance by any means. Like, I think he's hilarious. He has really great comedic timing.
Yeah, I agree. What a guy.
What a guy. What a gem.
The second Jeff Bridges movie that we've watched.
I really want you to watch The Thing now, too, because just sort of, well, maybe this doesn't make that much sense, but I guess I kind of think of Jeff Bridges and Kurt Russell as similar in my mind, okay. In my brain. Pretty similar people. I don't know. And it's interesting to think about the way that Jeff Bridges, I'm sure, was like, you know, directed by, what's his face? John Carpenter?
Yeah, you got it.
Okay, perfect. Great. to be, you know, very like deadpan in this movie and everything. It's kind of interesting to think about how different it must have been to direct Kurt Russell's character in The Thing, like right around the same time, because these are both alien movies, to be clear, is why I'm like making this connection. Okay. Both alien movies, like, you know, masculine man, dude, big star in the lead role. And it's just very different the way that the way that Jeff Bridges' performance in this is so like has to be so controlled and so lacking so much expression, I guess, because he is versus Kurt Russell, who's, you know, like having a meltdown basically that entire movie. Like, it's just 2 hours of a panic attack for Kurt Russell in The Thing. It must have been fun, I think, for John Carpenter to have such wildly different experiences in alien movies, not that far apart, I guess.
I gotcha. Yeah. I think I do see what you mean. But this one, it's funny, this one is not quite bookended by Kurt Russell movies with John Carpenter, but the two that I mentioned, there was Christine in between, but The Thing with Kurt Russell, then Big Trouble in Little China is also Kurt Russell, so...
Oh, that's cool.
And they do kind of look similar, at least at this point in their lives.
Yeah. So. Oh, they're so similar to me. I really do want to watch Christine. I've wanted to see that for a long time.
So Christine is a Stephen King like story, right? Another Stephen King adaptation.
Mm-hmm.
There seem to be a lot of those.
Yeah. A whole lot.
I don't know. Something about the way that he writes must... I don't know, convert well to movies.
Yeah, except he doesn't even believe that. Or maybe it's just that he doesn't like The Shining. I guess I actually don't know how many of his movie adaptations does he like and dislike.
Yeah. Maybe he's just a hater.
He might be just a hater.
I feel like there's certain stuff that he's like helped out with. Like adaptations. I don't know what or why, like why I think that or which movies it would have been, but for some reason I feel like he's helped out on some of them.
Yeah. I kind of want to look into that. I'm curious now.
Yeah. First of all, to know like how many there are.
Yeah.
Because he's like written a lot of stuff too. I don't think I've ever read anything that Stephen King has written though, to be honest.
The Shining is good. And so is Pet Sematary. I think those are the only two I've read, but I liked both of them.
Okay. I think it was Stephen King that did it's like a date the title is like the date of JFK's assassination, and it's like going back in time.
Oh, that's cool.
But I know that one because it was a limited series that looked interesting. So I know it from the adaptation too. I never watched it, but for whatever reason, that one just seemed very interesting. I saw it like at the bookstore and it was like a bajillion pages. And I was like, maybe I'll read that at some point. Maybe I'll make that my next book club pick to be annoying.
That'd be fun. We've never really done like a horror, huh? I guess we did Eileen. Maybe that's kind of scary, but
what about Higgly Piggly Lovecraft?
Oh yeah, I forgot about him. That's like, yeah.
And his weird Sorry. Stories.
Sorry, Hanky Panky Lovecraft. That's Hanky my bad. Thank you.
Harry Potter Lovecraft. What if? So yeah, I think that's all that I have to say about Starman.
Cool. Me too.
I thought it was quite good. This is, do you have a rating for this one? Actually, I have something to say, but I'll wait to hear what your rating is.
Originally I was going to give it a 6 out of 10. This conversation has made me think maybe it's more of a 7 out of 10. No, I'm going to stick with 6.
Yeah. Stick with your gut, I would say.
Yeah. It had some really shining moments and ultimately I'm glad I watched it, but it was a little bit of a mess.
Yeah, I personally am giving this one a 7. And I had the same thought in reverse. I was like, 7. And I was like, maybe a 6. But I was like, no, 7. Okay, gotta stick good. With my guts. Stick Sounds to good. My guns. This is like an experience that I've had with a few of these movies from this collection that I've seen. Mm-hmm. This is only the third. So I shouldn't like be talking crazy. That I've seen like a whole bunch already, but it seems that I'm liking them a lot regardless of how good of movies they are. Like, I don't think none of them that I've had been bad so far, but I think that I like each of them that I've seen more than I think that they're really good, if that makes sense. Cool. And I think it's like the framework of watching it within this like collection and idea and concept. And if they do like that specific thing really well, then I have like a strong like attachment to it. Cause I think that if it gets that right, then it works for me. And even if it doesn't quite completely work together as a movie, then I'll still really like it. And that's kind of been the theme so far. But I've been kind of seeking out the ones that I haven't really ever even heard of before and just kind of seeing what happens. Because the ones that I have seen, I like really loved already. So
thanks.
Yeah. But I'm going to also try to rewatch the ones that I have seen because both Wings of Desire and Afterlife are two that I have been wanting to rewatch because I want to make sure I know how I feel about each of them.
I don't think I've ever seen, but I'm intrigued.
Yeah.
Would you want to do a double feature for next week?
Yeah. Of those two. Cool. Yeah. I think that would work really well.
Okay. Cool.
Afterlife is Hirokazu Koreeda, the same guy who did like Nobody Knows and still Walking.
Okay. Awesome.
Which we watched both of those for the podcast.
Yeah.
Actually, you only watched Still Walking. Mm-hmm. We both watched Nobody Knows. But he's one of my favorite directors. And Afterlife, I talked about it on the wrap-up when I watched it originally, I think. Afterlife is definitely his most interesting concept. It was the earliest movie that I've seen from him. And the concept is so cool, but I don't know. Like, I didn't know how I felt about how it was executed upon in that one. So it's been one that I've been wanting to rewatch. So.
Gotcha.
I'd be down to do that as a double feature.
Okay, perfect. Let's do it.
Cool. Yeah, so that can be next episode is Afterlife and Wings of Desire.
Yay, I'm excited.
And those will still count for like Shiners and all that sort of stuff. I think the rule that I came up with was that if it's a second watch for me or either of us, then it's chill.
Okay. Sounds good.
Or if it's Perks of Being a Wallflower. which is our specific rewatch week, which we might do again sometime in the future, but we'll see.
Cool.
Cool. Yeah. So that takes care of what next episode will be. And then I think it'll just be the wrap up after that, because it'll probably be a solid, because I won't be back here. I'm not going to take any of my stuff to the States. And I'll be back here on the following Wednesday.
Okay.
Yeah. And then we can do an episode that sometime that week, and then we'll have the wrap up, and then maybe we can shoot for book club the first main episode week of March.
Okay. Yeah, that sounds great.
Cool. Which means that we got a plan locked in for the next few episodes. It always feels good to like know what we're doing.
Yes.
Cause sometimes it's just like, well, what do you want to do next time? I don't know.
Yeah. Totally.
So cool. Yeah. So we'll do that for our next week. Double feature. Another double feature week. Yeah. I think it'll be really cool. And just like kind of talking about movies within this framework too, of the interdimensional romance.
Yeah. Yeah.
Cause cool. I think that each of those are a little bit different from, well, I guess the ones that I've seen already. But I guess you hadn't seen this. I can't really compare, but we'll see.
Cool.
Once again, just this theme is so cool. And if anyone does have the Criterion Collection, go check out some of the movies in this collection. Criterion Channel, I mean. Cool. Yeah, so that's what we got for this time around, which means all there's left to do is to recommend an album. Do you have an album for this week?
Yeah, I think I'm going to recommend SOS by SZA, which is really big. It was nominated for Album of the Year at the Grammys, and it lost, unfortunately. I was very much rooting for Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard to win Album of the Year. Obviously, I'm a huge Lana fan, but also I think that that album is just like actually the one that deserved it the most. Like, that's a very biased
opinion. That album is crazy good, for the record.
It's so crazy good, but whatever. After both of them lost, I was kind of reading some people's like commentary and everything. And a lot of people, I didn't really realize how many people like very seriously expected SOS to win, and that was their pick, and like they were floored when it didn't. So I was like, man, maybe I need to listen to that one a little bit more thoroughly, because I guess I just like, I didn't really like the song off of it that got very popular, Kill Bill. I wasn't a huge fan, so I didn't really listen all the way through to the whole album. But after seeing so many people talk about it and how great it is, I gave it a go.
Yeah.
And it really is. It's like fantastic. It's a really like just interesting, really well-produced album. I think SZA has a really nice voice. She's really fun, but the lyrics are really just like compelling and thoughtful. Like she's just an interesting gal. A lot to say. And the album is really good. It's really well put together. And I now like agree. Like it, I mean, Tunnel Under Ocean Boulevard is still absolutely my number one pick, but I would not have been disappointed at all had SOS taken home Album of the Year. So,
I see. My pick for my album this week is called Tonight by David Bowie. For whatever reason, the David Bowie song that this movie that we just watched reminded me of was not Starman, the song with the same title as the movie. For whatever reason, it reminded me of Loving the Alien.
That makes sense.
Yeah, I mean, it works out. But that song is from the album Tonight, which is kind of looked down upon. It came out in 84, which is the same year that this movie came out, so it works out perfectly. But a lot of people say that it is not very good, but I decided to go ahead and listen to the whole album through, and I mean, not among one of David Bowie's best albums, but it's pretty fun. There's a couple of random covers on this that I forgot like existed. Like he does a cover of God Only Knows, which I like completely forgot, like maybe didn't even know existed. And there's a couple of other Well, there's one other cover on here of an Iggy Pop song, but there's actually quite a few good tracks on this one. Like, as an album overall, it's probably not among his best, but I think that's only because his whole body of work is so good. I think it is a pretty good one that's overlooked, and I would say go check it out.
Awesome.
But also, if you haven't heard The Rise and Fall of Ziggy Stardust and the Spiders right. from Mars, listen to that one first. That's my favorite album of all time.
Nice.
But yeah, loving the Alien. But it works out especially well that this came out from the same year.
Mm-hmm.
It fits the movie more than Starman does. But yeah, there yeah. you have it.
They should have called this movie Loving the Alien.
Yeah.
That would have made a lot more sense.
How about Starman and then in parentheses, Loving the Alien?
That'd be really funny.
They should re-release it as that. Cool. Yeah. So that's true. That's there you have it. Another episode of the Speaking English Pod in the bag. We'll see you next time. Yeah. Woohoo. Mm-hmm. We'll see you next time when we see you, or you'll hear us next time when you hear us with mm-hmm. a double feature of Wings of Desire and Afterlife with a space.
I am really looking forward to watching both of them.
Yeah, me too. I think it'll be great. And I decided that I'm going to watch all of the Mission Impossible movies on the plane, on the various plane okay. rides I will take in the next couple weeks.
Awesome.
When I was flying back, I saw that they had all of them on the plane, but I didn't have time to watch all of them in a row. So,
gotcha.
Yeah. And on that note, that's the episode. Thanks for listening, one and all, and do great things this week. We both believe in you.
We do. Thank you so much. Goodbye.
Go vote for the Shiners and love some aliens this week.
Woo!
Bye now.